Those of you who would, let's kneel and seek our Maker. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be with my friends once again. Lord, I pray that you would put your words in my mouth. Lord, you've promised, now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And so, Father, I claim that now. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds. And, Father, we ask that you would bless us with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day that you've given us, that we are embarking on, a wonderful 24-hour period to just be with you and friends and family. What a honor and what a blessing, Father. Thank you for the Sabbath. And, Father, we expect a great blessing because you're a great God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to do a quick, very quick review. We're going to tie off our study, and then we're going to get into something that I think will be interesting and a challenge to you. Matthew 26:41, open up your swords. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, we spent time going through and breaking down every single word. And for those of you who were not here, you're just going to have to catch up. Watch. The first word, watch, means to give strict attention to be cautious and active, and means to add to something, add to watching, praying, which is communication with heaven, opening up our heart to God as a friend, that you, the church, young disciples here at camp, enter into, go into, or don't even begin to be involved in, or even go towards, or among, into a temptation, which is an enticement to sin, whether arising from the desires within or from outward circumstances. The spirit, that means the soul, indeed, truly, certainly, surely is, that means right now, willing, wanting to, ready, desiring to have victory. It wants to go forward and have victory. The soul, with Christ indwelling, is ready. It's present tense. The next word is but. Uh-oh. In contrast to everything that's just been said, the flesh. That would mean the fallen nature. That would mean the human nature without the divine influence. Again, the word after that is. That is a current state of being again. So how is it that when there's a willingness and yet there's the fleshly side of things that's unwilling? Well, that's exactly what Paul talks about in Romans when he's talking about how there's that struggle. Sometimes I want to do this, but I don't do it. I know what's right, but I do what's wrong. Can anybody relate to what Paul's talking about? All of us can. Because the reality is, the spirit, when we're with God, is willing, and yet the flesh is there, and the flesh is willing too, but not on God's side. So this is that battle we talked about. This is the battle between the spiritual man and the carnal man, or the spiritual dog and the carnal dog. And remember, whichever dog gets fed, that's the one that what? Wins the fight. That's right. Is weak. Now, what does weak mean? This is where we left off last night. What does weak mean? Not strong? What does weak mean? I hope that wasn't a raindrop that just fell on me. Either that or it was a bird blessing me. Yes. Feeble, absolutely. The flesh is feeble, not strong, incapable. Lack of strength. I've got a couple definitions here. Those are all excellent definitions. Feeble, not able to fulfill its functions properly. So in other words, the human agent without Jesus is not able to fulfill its functions properly. It's of a low standard. Liable to, listen to this definition, liable to break. In other words, the flesh is liable to break or give way under pressure easily. Isn't that what happens when we don't have Jesus in our life and a temptation, a trial comes? We actually can give way. Like, if you think about a chain, you know, a chain can be a mighty strong thing, but it's only as strong as what? Its weakest link. And so, if you have this incredibly strong chain, but one link is weak, then that chain is worthless. So the human nature is weak, compromising, lacking the force of character to hold one's own decisions, beliefs, or principles. Did you know Ellen White talks a lot about human nature and the flesh? Let me read a couple quotes for you. Signs of the times. Human nature is vile, she said. Human nature is depraved. Human nature is very weak. Human nature is vacillating. Human nature is erring. Now that's from five different references in five different books. Here's a sixth one. Human nature is not in harmony with the principles of Christ. Here's a seventh one. Human nature is a cruel tyrant when not under the control of God's Spirit. In other words, sometimes from within we can have all of these thoughts that I'm not worth anything, I just keep sinning, and I'm just a loser, that our mind alone can be a tyrant when not brought under subjection to Christ. But you know what? There's another one here that's very interesting, and I think it puts it all in perspective. She writes, human nature is worth working upon. Amen? If it's worth working upon, then that means we can have victory over it. And that's good news. So, we'll read one last time, Matthew 26:41, and then we're going to move on to another portion. Watch and pray. Give strict attention to, be cautious, and add to that communication with heaven. That you enter not into, that you young disciples, here at Young Disciple Camp, that you do not enter into, don't even begin involved with, don't even go toward or among temptation, an enticement to sin, whether arising from the desires within or from outward circumstances. The spirit, the soul, the vital force by which the body is animated, the rational spirit when God is impressing it, indeed, truly, certainly is. Currently, right now, willing, ready, desiring, wanting to please God, but in contrast to what we've already said, the flesh, that's the human nature without the divine influence, is currently, right now, weak. It is feeble, not able to fulfill its functions properly. It's of a low standard and low performance. So the message here in this scripture is that we must connect with prayer and we must have our eyes wide open so we may have the power, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help us overcome the flesh. Because when the flesh is pushed aside and surrendered to God, then God can work with our will. And if our will says, Lord, not my will, but yours be done, then God can work with that. Amen? Amen. By nature, friends, we are weak and erring human beings. We naturally want what is bad, what is compromising, what is worldly. We try and we fail. Can anybody relate with that? You try, but you fail. And then you try again, and then you fail again. We strive and we backslide. We make great proclamations. I will never again. And we find ourselves back at the same place again. Sometimes even lower than we were when we started. Romans 7:18, this is what I was referring to earlier. Paul says, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find it not. Can anybody relate to that one? I know my parents have done a good job. They've taught us what to do, what not to do, what things are okay, what things are not okay. But how to perform all of that, I can't possibly find it. I can't figure it out. Welcome to the Christian experience. The reality is, the moment we're baptized or we say we want to be a Christian, it doesn't mean that life becomes a bed of roses. It doesn't mean that the devil leaves you alone. Sometimes he'll mess with you a little bit more. But that shouldn't discourage us. That should tell us that we're on the right pathway. Because if the devil's leaving you alone and life's pretty honky-dory, then probably something wrong with your walk. Does that make sense? So how do we get to a place where we let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus? How do we get to this place where we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we need to start praying without ceasing? How do we get to that place? It's not natural, because our habit is to rely on who? Ourselves. So we have to get ourselves in a new habit. And there's only one way to develop a new habit. And that is to get into the school of Christ and say, Lord, I need you to help me develop a new habit. Do you know how long it takes approximately to develop a new habit? Anybody know? About 30 days? 27? 2 weeks? They say on average between 30 and 40 days to develop a new habit. So if your habit is normally to try to take control of your life, and I think probably all of us struggle with that from time to time, I know I do, then we need to ask God to help us get in a new habit of surrender. Now, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but the other evening I was talking to some young ladies, and it popped back into my mind, and as I started talking last night about watch and pray, the Lord said, I would like you to share this idea with some of my young children. And that is this. I finally figured out that according to the Word of God, if I could continually surrender my thoughts and affections to Christ, then, in other words, get a hold of my thought life, and not let myself or the devil or other people or circumstances steer me off track, if I could get a hold of my thought life, I would really be on my way to having some success in my life, some victory in my Christian experience. Does that make sense? Absolutely. And what's interesting was I was studying this passage a number of years ago, and I was reading Watch and Pray, and I was contemplating on this, and I was saying, yes, I need to surrender my life, and I need to, what does it mean to watch? And I was dissecting this, as we just did last night and a little bit this evening, and I was dissecting, and I'm thinking, how do I do this? How do we do this? And right then, my watch beeped. It went beep, 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 right there at the top of the hour. And I literally said, watch, and it went beep, 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 and pray. And I went, hey, what if I set my watch and prayed? Now, I'm, you know, it's not a real deep thought here, but the reality was, I thought to myself, huh, what if I set my watch, and every time, and I committed myself to the Lord and said, Lord, I asked you to keep me until my watch beeps again. Because has anybody figured out, at least for me, going from morning devotions to evening devotions can seem like a lifetime some days. And before you know it, you're not focusing on Jesus, you're thinking of this problem and that person and this and that, and before you know it, you're kind of like going, and you're going down on this pit, right? You guys don't know what I'm talking about? Oh, you do? Okay. So, the reality was, I thought, what if I set my watch, and instead of going all day long, because I thought I talked to the Lord a lot, I did, instead of going all day long, I actually would every hour now have, we interrupt this program to bring the following message. You are still a child of God, right? So every hour I would think, all right, hey, that's great. So guess what? I started in the morning and I said, Lord, and I set my watch. Actually, I had a timer on here, and not just a chronograph or an alarm, but a timer. I set it at 1 hour and it would count down. And I simply, when it beeped, I'd simply just touch this little top button and turn off. So it could be discreet and quiet, you know, if I'm in a more quiet type area. So I would set my watch and say, Lord, I am going to be yours for the next hour because you are going to live in me and we're going to walk together and you're in control of my life just for the next hour. Now, that kind of breaks things down, doesn't it? It kind of makes it like, okay, I could go an hour with the Lord, right? Guess what? I couldn't. I'm just being honest with you. And I'm a preacher and a singer by this time. And I'm out there telling people how to overcome, and I'm thinking, I'm a connected man, and I'm not even able to go an hour without me taking control of my life again. So I set it to half an hour. Well, I couldn't go a half hour. And I set it for 15 minutes, and I'm like, surely you are not this pathetic, Christian. I'm serious. I said it for 7 minutes. 7 minutes. And beep, beep, beep. It was like going beep, 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 beep all day. I'm like, okay, already. But beep, 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 7. I'm saying, Lord, I was yours for 7 minutes. And he wasn't up there going, well, finally. No, he was saying, good. You're going to learn a new habit. That's to bring every thought into captivity. This is the key, Christian. It's the thought life. Oh, yes, Lord. And then I was going 14, 15, 21 minutes, 28 minutes. And I was like, zip. Oh, yeah, this is good, you know. I've just felt like, dun, dun, dun. Christian connected to Jesus has arrived, you know. And that's the point, friends. When we are connected to Christ, then we become a force to be reckoned with in this universe. And it's not because of us. It's not because I'm super Christian. No, it's because I have a super God that is with me, behind me, and the Holy Spirit is living in me. Amen? Amen? Amen. So then before you know it, when I was consistent at 15 minutes, and then I was consistent at 20 and 30 and an hour, before you know it, I could go from breakfast to lunch, and I was still connected. Do you know how powerful and freeing that is? I'm afraid maybe many of us don't. What was I doing? I was creating a new habit to get outside of myself and to have some mechanical feature like my watch redirect my mind. And I'd say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. My mind it was straying and I was thinking about this or that. And I give it back to you, Lord. And so I learned consistently how to surrender. Does that make sense? It's a very simple, practical way, and we have had people around this world in 5 different countries try this experiment, and it has changed many people's lives. It has not only changed just like students' lives and mommies' lives. I'm talking head elders and leaders of churches trying it, and they're going, "This, why didn't I think of this before?" I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't think of it either. But the reality is, God, I was afraid it would turn into something that would be like a vain repetition. You know what I mean? Where it's like, okay, you know, doing that thing like every day at the stroke of whatever. But it didn't do that. What it actually showed me was that God was here for me and he wanted to be with me moment by moment. Does that make sense? Now, how do we give up old habits? Let me ask you a question. Anybody here have some habits that we probably need to give up? Okay, so that side's more honest than this side, or you guys are thinking? We have habits that we probably need to give up? Yes. Now, would it be wise to slowly give off by degrees if we had a bad habit? Okay, I hear yeses and I hear noes. So, for instance, if I'm an alcoholic and I'm drinking alcohol and I have a problem with booze, should I drink less tomorrow and less the next day? Why? It doesn't work. In fact, Ellen White tells us that we should not let off by degrees. If you know and you shouldn't, then it's out. Why? Because if you have a problem, say you have a problem with drinking, smoking, internet pornography, you have a problem with whatever, I mean, it could be 1,000 things, guys. Then what we do is we say, no, God has said no. And so, Lord, I need you to help me keep this conviction and walk in that. So what does that mean? If we got a problem with something on the computer, then we put the computer in the public area of the house, right? And don't have access in the little dark corners of the house. It's right there for everybody to see what's going on. Or if I'm an alcoholic, the alcohol, the booze is out of the house. What are we doing? We're creating a buffer zone around us. So then when the temptation comes to engage in that sin, it's not so readily able to be grabbed and lose the battle. Does that make sense? Okay. So, let me just put you through this quick little test. Habit. H-A-B-I-T. Right? Habit. All right. So, I'm going to actually cut off part of my sin. I'm not going to drink as much, for instance, alcohol. And I'm going to take the H off. What do I have left? I still have a bit of it left, right? That's right. So, you know, I'm going to get even stronger, and I'm going to take off the A. What do I have left? I still have a bit left. Now, what if I really get strong with God, and I'm going to cut the B off? What do I have? I still have it! Amen? So it doesn't work. You still have it. So the reality is, you cut it out and you get it gone. Are you with me? All right. Now, this week we've been talking about music. We've been talking about secular music. We've been talking about sacred music. We've been talking about the pulls of the world. And the principles that we've been sharing throughout the week can apply to not just what we listen to, but by what we watch, the TV shows, the movies, the silly things you can get involved in the social networking sites like Facebook. It applies to many different things. Now, I asked you this afternoon when we stopped to allow the Holy Spirit, and even last night, allow the Holy Spirit to start talking to your heart. Has the Holy Spirit been talking to anyone here? Yeah? Wonderful. Has he convicted you and said there's some things in your life that maybe you need to change? Any bad habits of running to this music or running to those things or running to whatever it may be and not running to God? So how are we going to overcome if we have an addiction? How are we going to overcome if we have a pull? Because sometimes life gets hard and sad and I want to run off and escape mentally and I want to play this kind of music because it makes me feel better. Or I want to watch this movie because I can just escape my raunchy life for an hour or two. You see, friends, here's what the devil's doing. Don't miss this point. The devil is trying to put things in our lives that become our comforter. And Jesus promised to send us a comforter, and it wasn't a lame song or even a beautiful song. It wasn't a lame movie or a piece of television or some internet gaming or whatever it may be. He promised to send us the comforter, the Holy Spirit. So what the devil's doing is he's helping us to run to all these things to escape the reality of our life. And the problem is that we do not run to God now. Do you see how tragic and pathetic that is? We don't run to the Lord. We run to these things that can't fix anything. They can't fix anything, guys. And if we go forward with God and ask for the Holy Spirit to help us through instead of running to these worldly things because I just need to veg out tonight. It's been a hard night. I've said the same thing. And instead of running off to these things because we're just so overladen even with God's work, we need to run and fall on our knees and ask God and beg Him for the Holy Spirit. Is this making sense? So I have a challenge for you. I have a 90-day challenge for you. This is for campers. This is for staff. This is especially for staff. And this is especially for campers. So that's for everybody here. 90-day media fast. 90-day complete media blitz. No movies. No TV. No music unless you're in lessons and you're studying music. That's fine. But don't play the game of, well, I need to expand my music appreciation. And you're going to listen to a bunch of junk. That's not what we're talking about. No music. No social networking. No, oh, I couldn't live. Yes.
The music, just, you can still listen to like sacred music.
No sacred music. I've got a reason. This is a tested plan. It works, okay? I've done it and tested it for a number of years. The one I'm about to tell you works. How long does it take? No, if it's for church and you're playing a piece or you're singing, that's different, okay? But you are, in your free time, are not going to get involved in listening to and putting on the iPods and sitting in your rooms or being in the car and everywhere else you are. You can live without music. They did it for 4,000 years before, 6,000 years before it ever got recorded. Recordings just happened in 1877. How did they do it? Oh, we're addicted, friends. And there, herein lies the point. I just couldn't live that way. Well, then what are you going to do at the end of time? Now I'll give it all up? No, you won't. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
No media, 90 days. Now, why? Why 90? Actually, I'm going to modify what I just said. No secular media at all for 90 days. 45 days means nothing. Now, if you need internet for work, which most of you are probably not gainfully employed as young people, that's fine. But if your parents are and they want to take the challenge, then they can use it. But it's not just on there. If they, oh, let me forward that funny to this one and do that, that. I mean, use it for what you need and then get off. Because what's happening is the devil is distracting us with so many things that by the end of the day we're going, oh, that's right, I'm a Christian, I forgot. Right? That's what's going on. So for 45 days, it's nothing except for what needs to be done for school or for work. Now, why do I say 45? How long does it take to train up a new habit? About between 30 and 40. Let's add 5 to be extra safe. All right? 45 days. Now then, what do we do? 45 days in, here's what's going to happen during that 45 day. When you find out that you have an awful lot of free time on your hand, because after all, we're conservative SDAs, we're the cream of the crop, we certainly don't give hours and hours and hours off to the devil every week, right? No, not us. But when you come to realization that, yes, you have been, you're going to have to replace those things with something productive, something spiritual, something that unites the family together. Instead of sitting there watching a TV program because you're going to spend quality time together, why don't you actually go and spend quality time together? Go ahead, pull out a game, play with your children, go out and pull the weeds together. I don't know, take a walk, get a ball and throw the ball. Did you know they have balls that you can actually throw and you don't have to play it on a video game console? It's actually really, they even bounce. It's incredible. And instead of watching people do it on TV that get paid millions of dollars who don't care about you, I still don't understand why grown men will watch boys play with balls on TV. Doesn't make sense to me. Wow, look, they can throw a ball. So what? So can I. Well, he can throw it far. Well, pay him millions of dollars because he can throw it far and catch a ball. It doesn't, you know, you see what I'm saying? It just doesn't even make sense. And when we take a step away from the world for 45 days, we're going to start seeing the foolishness in these other things. Do you understand? All right. So we get that stuff out of our life for 45 days, replacing it with Bible time, scripture time, running around, wrestling time, trampoline time. I don't know. Whatever it is that you can do with your children or you can do with your parents. Replace it with something good. Spend time in the Word of God. Memorize Scripture. If you know some songs, then hum the songs. That's great. Sing the songs. That's wonderful. Why? Because what we're going to do is retrain the taste buds for 45 days. We're taking a fast from the media. So then at day 46, what you do is you start listening to your sacred music. At day 1, if God said that music you know is not good, you delete it, not just out of iTunes, young people, you delete it off the hard drive. And if you know how to have a second iTunes library that your parents don't know about, then that means you probably have to delete everything on that library. By the way, parents, if you need some input on that, I'll tell you how it works. And the kids now hate me. That's fine. I love you, and that's why I'm telling your parents. So the reality is this. When you delete that stuff off on day 1 that you know is not right, and some of the ones that you're not sure, don't delete those yet. Day 46, you've had 45 days with the Lord without your need, without your drug being shot into your bodies. 45-day fast from that. Day 46, you will be amazed at how clear your perception is on the rest of your music library. All of a sudden, you will be saying, and you're going to pray and say, Lord, help me to discern what's acceptable and what's not. You're going to go back through it, and you're going to delete some other things. Other things, you're going to go, nope, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, that's acceptable, based on the principles that we learned this week. Amen? So from 46 to day 90, you are now introducing different types of media and things back into your life. But you're also going to pray and ask God to help you choose what is acceptable. Even your talk that you used to have on Facebook will be very, very different. And you will read it and start seeing these kids are just talking about a bunch of duck that means nothing. Why? Has Facebook changed? No. Your heart has. Amen? Yes. Media does not include a phone call, but chatting and talking to your friends for hours on end, talking about boys and blah, blah, and all that other kind of stuff, that's a no-no. Because you're going to replace that time with productive things. You just sit there and go, oh, I know, it's so cute, or whatever you're talking about, that's going to do nothing to help your addictions in other places, okay? So, this is the formula, and I will officially invite you to participate in the 90-day challenge. You what?
I take it.
You take it. Praise the Lord. Those of you who are not sure if you're going to take the challenge, think about it. Pray about it. Do not allow one other person to pressure you into doing it. If you find strength in another person and they're going to do it and that helps strengthen you and you say, okay, man, if you can do it, I'll do it. Okay, sister, if you do it, I'll do it. That's great. But don't let anyone pressure you into it or out of it. It needs to be your decision. You are young men and young women now. It's time to man up. It's time to woman up, if you will, and start making decisions for yourself that are righteous decisions. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So that is your challenge. 90-day challenge. 90-day media fast, 45s with nothing that's secular, nothing at all. Day 46, you bring back in the different components, and you ask God to show you the reality, whether it's okay or not. You will be amazed at how clear your perception is, because it takes about 30 to 40 days to train up a new habit. And then after 90 days, it is amazing just how fortified you will be to go forward. Is anybody... Yes. Does it start from... No, it starts from when I issue the invitation. Last week was a good little primer for you. And that's great, because have you survived this last week?
Yes.
You have! It's a miracle! Oh, you lived without texting! Oh, you lived without the movies, and the TV, and the music! Oh! You see, the reality is, here's why it worked for you this week. Because it was replaced with good things. Amen. The devil wants to replace all of this wonderful time that we actually have with his junk that solves nothing. I am out of time. And yes.
How are you going to start it?
How are you going to start what?
The 90-day challenge.
How are we going to start it? You're going to say, I decide
to... I mean, like,
no.
How are you going to issue it?
Right now. I'm issuing it right now.
Oh, okay.
Now, if... you want to take the challenge. Just right now, if you're thinking about it even, you're not making a commitment right this moment. That comes in a minute from now. But right now, how many of you are thinking, maybe I'll take this 90-day challenge? Praise the Lord. That is wonderful. How many of you, I love to see even the staff, that is so great. You have to understand, I experiment on my family. And actually, I will be totally upfront and honest with you. It was Tyler that came to Kobe and I about, year and a half ago, maybe something like that. And we were talking about things that we needed to change in our home and in our life. And Tyler came to Kobe and I and said, I don't think we spend enough time as a family together with quality time. I said, okay, well, how do you think that we change that? Well, I think we need to just go on a media fast and just have nothing in our home. I'm like, really? And we as a family said, that sounds awesome. So we decided on, was it 1 month or 3 months? No, that's what it wound up being. I think we started with 1 month. And one, yeah, it was. And 1 month later, we said we will reconvene and have a family council and find out if we want to continue this. Well, we decided let's do it again. And that turned into 2 months and 3 months and 4 months and 5 months and 6 months. And we're like going, man, family's good. Amen.
Amen.
So friends, God only wants to give us good things. He doesn't want to take away anything that's bad for us. He wants to only take away those things that hamper our relationship with Him and with each other as Christians. So, now I'm going to ask for those of you who know in your heart that you want to do this 90-day challenge, and maybe those who don't necessarily want to, but you know that you need to do this 90-day challenge, I will ask you to stand to your feet. Praise God. That is incredible. No? So now, we're going to have a prayer. And this will conclude our meeting tonight. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, you see those who are standing. They have made a commitment, Lord. They know that they need to and they want to get the stumbling blocks and the problems out of their life. They want to get the pull of the world and the devil and his tentacles out of their life. Father, I pray that you would give them a hedge of protection, a special hedge of protection for those who are standing. I pray that you would put your angels around them, mighty warrior angels, Father, and help them to keep this commitment for 90 solid days. I pray that they would find parents when they go home that would be willing to do it with them. But Father, if not, help them to stand as Daniel stood, as Joseph stood, as Jesus stood. Please, Father, help them to be resolved in this, knowing that you will help them through it. And for those who have not stood, Father, I pray that you would put a special hedge of protection about them, because the devil's going to come in like a flood even now and cause doubts to rise up in their mind. May they not be doubtsayers to those who are going to go forward. I pray that you would stop their lips. And Father, I pray that for each one of us that are not quite sure whether we should do this challenge or not, please, Father, trouble our sleep. Put fire upon our head. Make the way clear and help us to know whether indeed we need to take a fast from the world or not. And for those of us who are not engaged in the insidious things of the world, Father, I pray you would put a special hedge of protection about each one of them, that you would help them to be encouraged to keep walking that straight and narrow pathway. Encourage their hearts, Father, to never compromise, but to go forward in faith. Father, I pray you would bless each person that is standing, each person that is sitting. I pray that you would forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for where we have knowingly entered into and engaged in things that we shouldn't have. Forgive us for unknowingly and unwittingly engaging in things that we didn't know, maybe up until this week through the seminar. Father, forgive us. Please, Lord, draw close to us. Fill us with your Spirit. And may we be among that number that ceases to sin when Jesus returns. For we pray this in the all-sufficient name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.